17:45. And if you take notes, I've entitled the message simply Goliath. Goliath. Thus saith the Lord. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Let's pray and ask God to open this up for us. Father, as we come to this passage, we pray, Lord, that you would open up our minds and our hearts. You would help us to have ears to hear. And if there be one here today listening who knows not Christ as Savior, pray, Lord, that you would use this passage to draw that one to yourself through Christ. And we ask that in Jesus' name. The first point I'd like to make is that this was a religious war. This wasn't a personal thing. This was a religious war. Everything. And that's because everything in this life, no matter what it is, has a spiritual connection. Everything does. Goliath, he fought for his God, which was Dagon. He accepted human sacrifices. And David, he fought for Jehovah. And unfortunately for Goliath, Dagon didn't make it to the battlefield that day. But Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner, was there to fight at David's side. And what makes this historical event relevant in the 21st century is that every battle you and I fight in this world, everyone, is in reality a religious battle. There's not one of us sitting here that hasn't fought against something or is fighting against something. And I tell you, Scripture tells you that it is spiritually connected. Why? Because you are more of a spiritual creature than you are a physical creature. Your physical life here is like a caterpillar. And one day, you're going to leave this life in a cocoon, and you're going to move on and be a beautiful butterfly. Metaphorically speaking, you're going home to glory, a day that never ends. So everything that happens in this world has a spiritual connection. And this, in this battle between David and the Philistine Goliath, wasn't a battle about armies fighting for territory, although that was in it. They were fighting a spiritual battle. The elect, you and I, those who know Christ as Savior, we will wage a lifelong war with sin, with Satan, and with the Goliath that lives in each and every one of us, our will. There is no greater battle you'll ever fight than the battle that you'll fight with your will. Because with your mind, you want to serve God, Romans 7 tells us, but with your body, you serve sin. It's called sanctification. And every day we're called to battle the Goliath, which is our will. And although we may swing the sword of truth in everything we do, it's God who fights for his elect people. Proof verse. Exodus 14:14. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, you should. It says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And that means that he will fight for you. It's also important to note that in the beginning of chapter 17, God tells us just how imposing and formidable an enemy Goliath was. In verse 4, we see that he stood 6 cubits in a span. I found out, I did the math, and a cubit is 18 inches, usually from the tip of your fingers to your elbow, and a span is as little as 8 or 9 inches more. So that means Goliath was 8 or 9 feet tall. Now, we have seen 8-foot tall people, but they're usually on the thin side, not so with Goliath. How do we know that's true? We know that he had strength. He had extraordinary strength because of the weight of his armor. It weighed 5,000 shekels. It was bronze. And 5,000 shekels translates into today's weight of about 157 pounds of brass on his body. So he wasn't 8 or 9 feet tall and thin. He was strong. He was big. And the incredible size of his spear tells us another thing about how big he was. A weaver's beam is thick and about 5 feet long. It's like a javelin. It's not like a long spear. It's like a javelin. And it says the spear's head, it was 17 to 18 pounds. Now you can imagine the strength it took to carry that armor, the strength it took to throw that spear, that javelin. And with all that armor on and that brass gleaming in the sun, Goliath looked invincible. And that's why Israel was dismayed. And matching his incredible size and strength was his hatred for God's people and for the God of Israel. He hated him. And nothing was probably further from Goliath's mind than being defeated in battle. And we see proof of that in his words. Look at verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Goliath's only thought, the only thing he thought about was conquest. And he was confident, absolutely confident in his own strength. His attitude was, I'm the biggest and the baddest man in this valley, and no one is going to defeat me. And he stood there out in front of the whole army of Israel, and that's what he said. And he had the army, the Philistine army, to help back him up as well. Now look at verse 11. When Saul and Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The same thing happens in life here. Something goes on in your life and it's difficult. You don't know how to deal with it. We've heard somebody saying that they're a little concerned about an upcoming date. Some people have a chronic illness. Some people are just going through situations in life. Those are Goliath things to people. Those are big deals. And they fear. And that's what Israel did when they saw Goliath. They feared. And what is fear? Fear is found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it is unbelief. Unbelief is the sin of not trusting in God. It's saying, what am I going to do? I'm here by myself. How am I going to handle this? Can I handle this? And the will constantly torture you. Fear comes from your will, from your lack of believing in God, and trusting in God to help you deal with whatever's going on in your life. And it's a sin. It's a sin. It's the thought that the individual, whoever you are, that you're going to face whatever you're up against all by yourselves, and you're not. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're not facing these things by yourself. But you see, King Saul and Israel, they forgot the passages in Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And I want to tell you something. That same passage belongs to you as well. They didn't remember Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You have the strength in Christ to handle anything. Does not our word say, or God's word say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me? Does not our word say, or God's word say, that when I am weak, then I am strong? That's what those things mean. You have all the supernatural strength you need to fight any Goliath in your life. Let me ask, which one of us here this morning, which one of us listening hasn't been gripped with fear, unbelief? Which one of us hasn't done that? When you have to stand up and face a Goliath challenge in your life, which one of us doesn't tend to be afraid? How about when you face serious health issues? Are your first thoughts, what am I going to do? Or what is God going to do? Which is your first thought? Or what about if you lose your job? or you face an incredible family or a personal problem, something you're having difficulty dealing with. What are your first thoughts? What am I going to do, or what is God going to do? Are you like Saul and Israel in our text, dismayed and greatly afraid? Or do you take hold of the Lord's words in Matthew 28:20? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And for those of you that don't know, amen means so be it. And that's what God is saying. I'm with you to the end of the world. So be it. And whatever he says, he does. Make no mistake about it. Unbelief in Christendom is as common as a cold. It's everywhere. And it is caused, and it continues to cause, the believing church. I'm not talking about the heretics. I'm not talking about the tares. I'm talking about the believing church. It continues to cause the believing church to become spiritually weak and anemic because of unbelief. In Luke 18:8, Jesus was so amazed at all the unbelief that surrounds him, he asked himself a rhetorical question. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is God himself saying that. So yes, Goliath was a giant of a man. David was just a boy, probably 16 or 18 years old, maybe younger. But Goliath was only a man. The real battle Saul and Israel had to fight is the same battle God's children are still fighting today. The same battle, unbelief. If Saul would have believed in the words of God that he knew, he would have went out and got the victory without David. But all that army was caught up in the size of a man and the brilliance of his armor and his strength, not realizing that God was on their side. And the same thing applies to each and every one of us. We don't dare to believe that God will give us the victory. We don't dare to believe that our sovereign King will stand with us as we fight the holy war of sanctification. We don't believe that. And we don't dare to believe Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness, my righteous right hand. Yes, we know the words. Yes, when things are going good, yeah, that's wonderful. Oh, I hold on to that. But the very moment Goliath shows up in your life, those words seem to slip away. They don't have the same strength anymore. Just like King Saul and Israel felt when they saw Goliath. I tell you, every child of God, every one of you, will at some point in time face the Goliath of unbelief. You will. But there is at least one who didn't suffer from unbelief. David. He was a teenage boy. He had great faith, a faith that he began exercising when he was very young. I see Paxton here, and I see Jude, and I see Augie, and I see Sarah, and I see all these kids here, and they're young kids. And they are now learning about God. They're learning about the supernatural powers that God gives his people. And they're learning young. And David did the same thing. Except David not just learned them, he exercised them. And I would tell all of the children here, exercise your faith. Just don't say, I know. Exercise it. Work it. Believe it. When word reached Saul about a young man who dared to face Goliath, he sent for him. Look at verses 36 and 37. Here's a testimony of David's faith. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And I want to tell you, I looked that up. The lion, they know, because he talked about a beard, was an African lion. But in those days, there still are a few Sinai lions. They are desert lions. And they're just as ferocious, a little smaller than African lions, about 350, 375 pounds, big animal. And the bear they're talking about is the Syrian bear. And that's a relative of the brown bear, which is a grizzly bear, a big bear. He wasn't talking about these little cubs. He was talking about man-eating animals, serious animals. He says, "Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Did you get that? Didn't say he was defying Israel, the armies of the living God. That's what makes it a religious war. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He hadn't even went out there, and he already claimed a victory. That's faith. That's faith exercised. And that's what's missing in the church today. Believing faith all the time. And with only primitive weapons. With only primitive weapons, the teenager David killed two of the most dangerous animals in the world. A lion and a bear. And he killed them. Because he believed in his heart that the Lord would empower him to do it, and he did. That's the power of faith. The power of faith is believing that God will deliver you. And if you have the power of that of faith and believing that God will deliver you, there's no room for anxiety. There's no room for fear. There's no room for concern even. He'll deliver me. Matthew 21:22. Here's what Jesus teaches us about God delivering us. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer," his will, of course, believing is the key word there, ye shall receive. You have to believe. You just can't throw up a prayer and say, "Well, I'll throw up a bunch of them." See, it's not like a shotgun where you got all these little pellets going up. You need to throw up a prayer that's filled with belief. Otherwise, I'll tell you the truth. I always tell the truth. That's just a metaphor. But your prayers never hit the ceiling. Without belief, your prayer goes nowhere. So David, going up against this giant Philistine, for him, that wasn't a problem, because he believed that God would deliver him in the same way he delivered him from the animals. He didn't feel that God was on his side, and that's another important point. David didn't just feel that God was on his side, rather he knew that he was on God's side. That's the difference. It's not that God's on my side, it's I'm on his side. That's what Christ did. He put me on his side. That means that David knew that God providentially brought him to that battlefield. It wasn't luck, chance, or coincidence that he was there. During the 40 days that the Goliath called out to Israel and they were afraid of him, that was part of a plan. He knew that he wasn't facing the giant Goliath alone. He knew that. And so you should know that as well. You're not facing anything by yourself. I don't care what it is. You're not facing it alone. God is there with you in everything. And that's why we should feel the same way David did as we battled the Goliaths that come into our lives. We need to believe that God is with us. We need to believe that God will deliver us. And you know what helps me is I go back in my life and I think about what he delivered me from. Think about it. Think about the things that God did for you. The things that he delivered you. He delivered you from the bondage of sin. You're no longer bound to it. He delivered you from the kingdom of darkness, and he brought you into his son's domain. He delivered you. How many times in your walk with God can you look back and can you say, "Oh yeah, look, he was there. He was there. He was there." You can see him in all of your life. Why? Because you're a new creature. Because he's given you all these benefits. He walks with you. He'll deliver you. Shouldn't we believe? Shouldn't we just not know Romans 8:31? But shouldn't we believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? Shouldn't we believe that with faith? Shouldn't we grab a hold of that and say, whoever's against me, you're fighting with God. So, you know, whatever you do to me doesn't matter, but God's in charge of this whole thing. Shouldn't we believe that? Shouldn't we believe Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who are called, to them who love God and are called according to his purpose? Shouldn't we believe that? Shouldn't that be more than just a set of words that makes us feel good when nothing's going on in our life? But just as soon as the hammer hits, boom, where's that verse go? Or how about Romans 8:38 and 39? And shouldn't we all believe that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, and I'm going to put in there, nor Goliaths, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Isn't that more than just a bunch of words? Isn't it more in your heart than a bunch of words? Or does it just ring around in your head, bounce around in your head? Oh yeah, I know Romans 8:31, 8:28. I know those things, yeah. But does you no good if it's up here bouncing around in your head? You got to bring it down to your heart, and once it's in your heart, it'll transport to your life, and you start believing it. So that when you have a problem, that's all you have to do is say, hey, he's in charge. The decisions that are going to happen, I know that he's going to deliver me from it one way or the other. See, one of the problems we have is we know those words, we claim them when things are good, but when things don't get good, you know the first thing we do? We go and look at what we're going to lose. We look at our tent pegs. Oh, they're in deep, real deep. And that's the problem. That's what causes unbelief. We're afraid we're going to lose something. And anything that you lose, you're going to lose anyway. And being afraid of it serves no purpose at all. I remember in a movie that I was watching, the Battle of the Bulge, there was a man, a sergeant, and the Germans were firing at the Americans from different hedgerows, and the Americans were laying down and firing back, and a sergeant came over, and he leaned against the tree standing straight up, and the bullets were going all around him, and one of the men that was laying down said to him, he said, "Sarge, you better come down here and lay down because you're going to get killed." And he lit his cigarette and he looked at the guy and he said, "I'm already dead." In his mind, he wasn't making it out of there, so it didn't matter what he did. The fact of the matter is, the same thing is true of faith. If you have faith, saving faith, then it doesn't matter what the world does to you because you have the promise that he will deliver you. One way or another, he will deliver you. You see, Saul and Israel knew, and you and I know, that we serve a sovereign God. So why is unbelief so prevalent among God's children? And again, I told you about the tent pegs. Afraid you're going to lose something. But there's another reason, too. Exercise. God's people have a history of what? Leaning on our own understanding. We have a history of that. God's elect understands the Lord's providence, but they don't trust in it. When something happens, oh, what are we going to do now? It's God's providence. I don't know how many times I've mentioned to you about the situation with my wife in her health. It's providence. It took a while, but I got it. And now that I got it, it's like I understand providence. It's like time. It's understanding that everything is going to be done in God's time. We're trying to run ahead of God and say, "Come on, Dad, come on, help us. We're way ahead of you." You're not. You're not ahead of anybody. You're doing everything, maybe according to your time, but God's time is the only time that counts. And if you have to go to court, if you have some sort of health issue, no matter what it is, God will deliver you from it. You just need to wait for the fullness of time. Everything in the Bible works on a time scale, including your life. It's here on a time scale. How do we know that's true? Because the Bible says, not a sparrow falls from the branch of a tree, but by the will of God. Because Jesus said, "I must needs go to Samaria." It means that he had a timetable. He had to see the woman at the well. He had to talk to her. You need to exercise your faith. All of us know that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but how many of us apply them to our lives every day? You see, exercising faith wasn't a problem for David. He lived for it. And there are Christians, and I count myself as one of them. I like to sign my letters or my emails, walking by faith, living by faith. Because it's the only way to live. We are called to be faithful people all the time. And with David, it wasn't a problem. When the lion and the bear attacked his father's sheep, what would most of us have done, do you think? I think most of us would have probably said, "Bon appetit, Mr. Bear or Mr. Lion, enjoy," and took off in the opposite direction. But that's not what David did. He loved to exercise his faith. He loved it. And he knew he was on God's side, so he wasn't afraid to face Goliath. He wasn't afraid to face the bear, nor was he afraid to face the lion. And when he drew near to Goliath, what happened? The giant was outraged that Israel would send a mere boy as their champion. Look at what he says in verse 42 and 44 through 44. "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or sticks? And the Philistine cursed David, how? By his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields." It was a religious war. You see it over and over again in these passages. David's response to Goliath shows us the faith that this young man had. Not in himself. His faith was in God's deliverance. In verses 45 to 47, David refers to God or the Lord six times. "Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield," he told Goliath. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know what? That there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands." And there's no difference between what David told Goliath and what you're telling yourself about the Goliaths you're facing. The Lord will deliver you. The Lord ordained the situation you're in, and he will get you out of it. He'll deliver it. I tell people this all the time. Whenever you're in pain, whenever you're suffering, if you focus on the pain, then you're not focusing on what the pain is doing. When you have a toothache, it means that there's something wrong with the tooth. When you have a personal problem, it means that there's something wrong with your personal life. There's something wrong. That's what pain indicates. There's something wrong. And in God's economy for his children, when that happens, it means that you're going to grow. You only grow through pain. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials Peter told the Christians that they were going through. Because you're going to come out like gold. There's many passages that talk about the trials and tribulations that Christians go through. And it isn't that they're going through it for any fun. They're not going through it because of luck, chance, or coincidence. They're going through it because God is trying to grow them. He's trying to help you grow. And it takes pain sometimes to grow. Proof is this. You can sit in any of these pews, and you can pray your heart out. You can throw a lot of money in the cup. You can sing with your heart like a nightingale, as long as everything is good. But if you got a court date, or you got a bad news from a doctor, altogether different, isn't it? But you will be delivered if you have the faith to believe. It's that simple. In those texts, David refers to God or the Lord six times. And in these verses, David's telling Goliath and he's telling God's people. He's telling you and I that our weapons of warfare are not knives or spears. That's not what we fight with. their spiritual weapons were to fight with. Faith is a spiritual weapon. Perseverance is a spiritual weapon. Trust is a spiritual weapon. Long-suffering is a spiritual weapon. Yes, the world has their share, but I'm talking about the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit that God gives us. These are spiritual weapons that we use in our fight against the Goliaths that come against us. It doesn't matter what it is. David didn't defeat Goliath with a sling. He didn't defeat him with that. He did it with his faith. It was his faith that took him onto the battlefield to begin with. It was his faith that took him a stone's throw away. He had to be at exactly the right distance to make that shot that he made. And it was faith that got him to that distance. And he didn't say, well, let's see how far. He didn't go on his... He didn't have a cell phone or anything he could calculate it with. Lord, deliver him. And he ran, and he knew when it was the right time. And he threw that stone. And when he threw that stone, it was faith that allowed that stone to sink into Goliath's forehead. I tell you that faith in God, I tell you this, it is the most powerful weapon in this universe. And I can prove that. Hebrews 11:33-35. Think of how powerful this is. Through faith, talking about saints, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. What kind of power do you think it takes to do those things? It takes the power of faith. God-given faith. I'm not talking about the faith the world talks about, oh, I have faith of this. I'm talking about ordained, God-given, supernatural faith. I'm talking about the faith that comes from Ephesians 2:8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. I'm talking about that faith. And that's the kind of faith that does those kind of things. And there is nothing in this universe that's more powerful. So you see, the Christian enemies are not flesh and blood, Goliaths. That's not who we fight against. Rather, it's the evil that motivates and energizes men and women. It's that evil. Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians 6:12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, I tell you this, that our battles belong to our God. He wants us to give him our battles. I have a proof verse for that. Psalm 44:5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. The key to remember about this is that in David's mind, as an enemy, Goliath was no different than the beast that he slayed, the lion and the bear. There was no difference in his mind. He knew his victory was assured because he knew that God is the champion of his people. And I believe this, and if my Bible was open, I'd put it over there. But I believe this, I don't think it mattered to David whether he lived or died, because he knew God was going to deliver him one way or another. How do we know that's true? Because of the Psalms. Psalm 34:7 reminds us, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivers them. There was no fear in David's heart for man or for beast, because his heart was filled with faith. And when a heart is filled with faith, as I said before, there is no room for fear and there is no room for unbelief. None. But maybe somebody's listening this morning who doesn't have God in their corner fighting for them because they've not trusted in Christ for salvation yet. If I'm speaking to you, today could be the day of your salvation. But if you decide... if you decide that you want to face the Goliaths of this life by yourself, well, that's okay. Just buckle up. Buckle up. Because it's as sure as sunshine that at some point in life you will find a Goliath looking for a fight in your life. And if you don't have Christ to help you, you're going to have to fight that Goliath all by yourself with the power that you have in your flesh. That's all you got. And worst of all, without Christ, when you exit this world, and you'll spend eternity tormented in a small black cell with all the Goliaths of the world, they'll be there with you. But if you're looking for a champion to fight for you and assure you of victory in this life and the life to come, you call me or you see me after the service, and I'll show you in God's word how he wants to deliver you from this world and bring you into his kingdom, into his household. For my brothers and sisters, I'd like you to take this thought home with you today. When David triumphed over Goliath, his victory was not for himself, it was for all of Israel. All of Israel benefited by David's victory over Goliath. Likewise, when Christ triumphed over the two Goliaths of this world, death and Satan, his victory was not for himself, it was for his people, you and I. So as joint heirs with him, shouldn't we claim a share in his victory? Shouldn't we do that? And if we don't have enough faith to claim his victories every day, then let me ask you, how much different are we than those that are not saved? How much different are we? Hebrews 11:6 reminds us, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Bring that home and think about it. And may God help you and I both to believe that we have the power to defeat every Goliath that comes into our life for your good and for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, there are people even today, right now, in this auditorium, there are people who are fighting Goliath. A Goliath is in their lives, and they're fighting him. And Lord, they try to fight him by their own strength. They always lose. They always seem to fall down. God, will you pick them up? They're your children. Would you pick them up? And would you deliver them from the Goliaths that they're facing? Would you give them the wisdom and the strength they need? Because they can't do it without you. And Lord, would you help them in their unbelief? Even as the man asked our Lord Jesus, would you help them that they might get the victory over the Goliaths that they face? Personal Goliaths, mental Goliaths, physical Goliaths, whatever it is. Would you help them to get the victory for their good and for your glory? Oh God, what a day it was when David slew Goliath. And God, what a day it'll be if you will help us slay the Goliath that's in our lives. We ask it all in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Closing hymn.